you. Please take your seats. Let us pray. A prayer of praise, all-knowing God. Lord, we praise you for the sheer size and endless variety of your creation. The more we discover, the more we realize just how little we do know. We scale mountains and plumb the depths of oceans. We reach the outer limits of space and we look back into history. We understand so much about our own world, our own bodies, our own minds. Yet, Lord, again and again, we are confronted with the reality of how little is the sum of our knowledge. All-knowing, all-seeing God, we praise you because there is nothing you do not know, nothing you do not fully understand, nothing that is beyond your comprehension. Mighty, holy, wonderful God, we praise and worship you, Lord of all. But Lord, we praise you more that because of the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, we can know him as Saviour. And through the Holy Spirit, we can serve him as Lord. Lord, accept our prayers, our praises, poor as they are, and keep our hearts and minds and lives focused on Christ, the source and reason and the power for our praises. Amen.
Amen.
And a prayer of confession. We come, O God, seeking your forgiveness. You gave us stewardship of your creation, yet what have we done with it? Our environments are changing, weather patterns swinging between extremes. Creatures are becoming endangered as their habitats are altered by climate change, with some at risk as a result of being hunted to satisfy men's greed. Forgive us, O God, for not being good caretakers of your created world. Help us to right our wrongs. Forgive us for not always being good caretakers of what you have given us personally. You have given each of us talents. Forgive us for not always using them wisely, for hiding away those we think too small to be of consequence, or for when we brag about what we have and what we've achieved. Forgive our small-mindedness, our selfishness, our greed, our desire for recognition. Forgive us and help us to grow and to use well all you've given us, all you give us to benefit others and further your kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you that you are a forgiving God. We know that if we are truly sorry, you will allow us to wipe the slate clean and start over again. Thank you that we can bring our burdens to the foot of the cross and leave them there. Open our hearts, Lord, and fill us with your love through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now we have...
Thank you very much, Doreen, for leading us into the presence of the Lord and in our worship this morning. We do pray for your healing, for your eye, that will soon settle. So thank you for continuing in the spite of difficulty this morning.
It's good to be
sharing with you in worship today as we come to hear the words of the Lord. In our first reading, we'll hear how Paul challenges Christians to live in readiness for the coming of Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. And in our gospel reading, Jesus tells a parable about being accountable for the gifts that God has given us in the parable of the talents. And already in her prayer, Doreen has hinted at that theme in how we use or misuse the gifts God has given us. So Glenys and then Heidi will read to us. Let's listen for the voice of the Lord for us.
The reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, the day of the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing.
The second reading is taken from Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. The parable of the talents. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. So I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I know that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid And I went out and hid your talents in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Thank you, Father, for your word.
Persecution, and make us wonder about the truth about you and the truth about ourselves. And so we pray that you will shine your light into our hearts today and help us to find the good news, the gospel, the living word, the living Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to our hearts today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In my sermon today, I want us to focus on the words of the Lord that Heidi shared with us in that parable and to discover its meaning for us, for our church here at Bethlehem. There are really two scenes here that I'd like to explore, two movements in the story. The master who goes away and entrusts his servant, and then the second scene, his return and the consequences. So the first scene opens with the master calling his servants, saying to them, I'm going away, I entrust my wealth to you. You take care of it. You be stewards of my wealth. He is the master, they are the servants. He owns everything, they own nothing. They depend on him for life and work. He places trust in his servants while he is away. And already there we can make connections and begin to understand the parable about this being about God and the Lord and us being the servants of God. Although we do add to that the words of Jesus who said in the upper room, I do not call you servants, but I call you friends. So we must bear that in mind as well, that we are also friends of Jesus as well as servants of God. The master represents God who gives everything. And without God, we would have nothing. He is the giver of life. We depend day by day upon his blessings. Just being able to be here today, it was God who enabled it. God has shared among us his wealth, talents. And of course, yes, that meant money in those days, but we can broaden it, can't we, to represent all that God has entrusted us with, those gifts and graces, talents and skills that he's given us throughout our lives. And I hope that today we can look back on our lives and see how God has given us those things to us to be a channel of blessing to others. We're not like the Dead Sea, where it all comes in and stays and becomes toxic, if you like. No, it's a channel, isn't it? It's a river of life, as we sang in that song. It's to flow out to others. What do we make of how the master here did not give equal amounts to those servants? Do we think that was fair or not? That he gave five to one, two to another, and one to another. We might say it's not fair. But then we know that the master there knew his servants. And he gave, as the Bible says in verse 15, to each one according to their ability. According to their ability. If he had given just one talent to that five talent man, well, that would not have been made good use of his abilities and potential. And if he'd given the five talents to the man capable of handling or not handling, as it turned out, the one talent, then again, that would not have been a good stewardship. But the master knew his servants and he responded to them appropriately. And that's true of us. It's the way that God works. God gives according to our ability, and then he encourages us to use what he has given us, however small, however great. And as Doreen said in her prayer, not for us to despise what we have and consider it too little, or brag about what we have and think it's so great, but just to give back to God in service what he has given to us. He leaves it in our hands. So what matters is not our ability, it's what we do with what we have. And I want you to be affirmed today that however you come today to church, whatever your situation today, God has something that he has given you that he wants you to use in his service. Yes, we can look back and think about the years that have gone by and how we've lived and worked and served, but it's also about today and tomorrow. And God hasn't finished with us yet. There's still some giving that God has and still some giving back to God that we can do for him. Visions and dreams for tomorrow as well as today. And then the second scene, the master returns. And this surely, linking in with Paul's words in Thessalonians, speaks of the master, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is returning. He is returning. And friends, we are about to enter the season of Advent, which means coming. And that whole season, in preparation of Christmas, is a time for us to prepare for the coming of the King, our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who came as a baby in the manger, the one who comes to us today by his Spirit, and the one who is coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords at the fulfillment of all history to reign. And that helps us to think about where we are in relationship with God and to take that time of repentance and preparation. We don't know the day of the Lord. It will come like a thief in the night, as Paul says, but we can be prepared, and Advent will help us to give us space to prepare our hearts, not just for Christmas, but for Christ. We are accountable to God. That is the message of the Master's return. We are accountable to God. We will give an account of ourselves at the mercy seat of God. In the parable, when the Master returns, the five talent man came in and said, "Look, I've taken the five, I've invested them, and I now have 10. Obviously, the interest rate was much better than it is today. Well done, good and faithful servant, says the master. You've been faithful over a few things, I'll give you more. And likewise, the second talent man came in and said, look, I've taken it, it was two, I invested it, now it's four. Well done, good and faithful servant. I will extend and increase your responsibilities. And then that one talent man comes in, and we feel for him, don't we, in a way. Lord, I knew you were a hard master, that you reap where you've not sown, so I wrapped the talent up, I buried it in the ground. I didn't want to lose it. I wanted to give you back something. Here it is. We can imagine him preparing his speech for his master. And the writer, Edmund Banyard, puts it like this, speaking in the words of that one talent man. Welcome home, master. It's nice to see you back. The place isn't the same without you. I hope you had a good trip. The talent you entrusted to me? Yes, master, I was just coming to that. I worried, of course, not knowing what to do for the best. You are so great, so powerful, and if I may say so, so shrewd, that everything you touch prospers. How could I compare with that? Yes, I know the others traded and made a handsome profit just like you do, and good luck to them, I say. But I'm not in that league. I know my limitations. What if I traded and lost? What would you have said then? And anyway, when you gave me less than you gave the others, I knew you didn't expect much of me. No, I said to myself, the best thing I can do is to give him his stake back, just as he gave it to me. And here it is. I apologize if the coins are a bit tarnished, but the safe place where I buried them turned out to be a little damp. Well, we feel for him in a way. He perhaps didn't steal or embezzle it at all, no. He didn't do anything criminal. He just didn't take the opportunity. He gave it back just as he had received it. And what did the master say on his return? So you've brought back your talent, unused, tarnished. What do you expect me to say to that? You call me master. You say that you know my ways. Know that I take risks. Then wasn't it your duty to follow where I lead and yourself take risks in my service? I grant you had less than the others, but you had something well within your capacity to manage and did nothing with it. You didn't even try. What more can I do with you if you won't make an effort to follow my ways? I have no choice but to pass your work to another. And we know the Lord does pass on his work. His work never stops. God will always call others to work, to ministry, to service. So why did he do what he did? Well, perhaps he did feel inferior to the other servants. When you're rubbing shoulders with five talent and two talent people, then you can feel inferior. When you see people doing things with grace and ease, then it makes it difficult when you know that you struggle. But he was afraid. He was afraid. He buried his talent. It was given to another. And this reminds us of the challenge to not be down on ourselves or despise what we have to offer, but to still say, yes, Lord, you've given it to me, and I'll give it back to you, whatever it is. I will honour the investment. I will take a risk. And it's about risks, taking risks in faith. Knowing that God isn't a hard taskmaster who will punish us if we fail, if it falls flat. It's better to try to take a risk and a chance. And what risks and chances in faith is God asking us to do here at Bethlehem? To have faith. God waits to see what we'll do next together with what he's given us. And I just want to close these thoughts by thinking about how we spend that talent. And an American minister, Methodist minister, Fred Craddock, put it like this. We think giving our all to the Lord is, for example, like taking £1,000 in banknotes and putting it all on the table and saying, here it is, Lord. I'm giving it all. But he says what God does is he sends us to the bank and he asks us to cash in that £1,000 for pennies. And so we go through life putting the equivalent, if you like, 25 pence of service there, 50 pence of service there, a pound of service there, lots of small deposits here and there. And he describes what those things might be. It might be listening to a neighbour, going to a fellowship meeting, visiting the elderly. Little acts of love, 25 pence at a time, broken down. So it's not about the big gesture all at once. It's through our life, giving back to God in small ways, loving acts of kindness over the long haul. What that might that be for you this week? Let's take the chance. Let's take the risk. Let's invest in people. Invest in the kingdom. That we might too, at the day of the Lord, with confidence and not fear, stand before the Lord, give an account of ourselves, and hear his voice saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Let us pray. A moment of quiet prayer, just to respond to what the Spirit has been saying to our hearts today. Thank you, Lord, for your word. As we respond now in worship and prayer and in bread and wine, continue to confirm and seal your word in our hearts today. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. It is in giving that we receive. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Morning. Something very relevant and very meaningful happened to me this week. As you know, I take and pick up my grandchildren at school. Well, quite often in the afternoons, I go early so I can have a walk around. And on Thursday, as I was walking, this gentleman was raking up some of the debris and tidying up on the road. And he turned round to me and he said, "Have you got time to talk to me?" So I said, "Yes, I've got time to talk to you." He started with, "Do you believe in God?" And then he carried on encouraging words and quoting parts from the Bible. And what he said to me was, "So many people I speak to are so busy in their lives and worrying about what they've got to do next, what money they've got to make next." He said they haven't got time to stop and talk. He said, and he worries about these people because we don't know exactly, like we said, the time or place when we have to answer for what we have done in our lives. And I feel that that man was given that talent. You know, I'm only doing it briefly because I'm over the time. But he is actually offering people the chance to hear about the Lord and sharing his talent. And I just felt the Lord prompted me this morning to share just very quickly. I mean, I can't say it all, but what he shared. And I thought, wow, he is a good and faithful servant. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Doreen, for having the courage to come and ask. And I will always encourage that. So we are a church who participates in that way and moves as the Spirit leads. So thank you. And just reminded me that time is one of the talents. "Have you got the time?" he asked. And you said yes. And that was you giving that talent, that time. So thank you. And now Diane's going to come and lead us in our prayers.
Jean offered to help me this morning, so thank you to her. We're going to have a time of prayer for Israel and what's going on in the Middle East, and then after that I'll have some prayers of intercession for our church family, and there will be a time for open prayer as well. This weekend, Jews and Christians worldwide are uniting in a truly historic prayer initiative to stand with the Jewish nation and people at this critical time. This weekend of prayer for Zion's sake initiative is inviting churches and synagogues worldwide to use this weekend, the 17th to the 19th of November, as a special time to offer prayers for Israel and the return of the hostages held by Hamas in Gaza. This extraordinary prayer weekend is being taken to churches and synagogues around the world. So let us pray. Father, we come before you today, 6 weeks after the horrific attack by Hamas terrorists on innocent men, women, and children in southern Israel. Unspeakable acts of barbarism were carried out, depriving families of parents, grandparents, children, and grandchildren. Over 1,400 were taken as hostages back to Gaza. Those who survived were forced to flee their homes to a place of relative safety, but are left with trauma that may take a lifetime to heal. We bring them before you now and ask that you comfort them in their grief.
We lift up each hostage to you, Father. Deliver them from darkness. Remove them from their place of captivity. Heal their wounds and return them speedily to their families. We thank you for the few who were released and one young woman who was miraculously rescued. but in recent days we have heard that the bodies of two hostages, Noah Marciano and Yehuda Weiss, were found near Al-Shifa Hospital. You are a God of miracles, and we pray now for a miracle to restore the rest of the hostages back to their loved ones.
We pray for wisdom and discernment for Israel's leaders, that they would have sharp minds and godly wisdom. We pray that they will not put all their trust in military might, but call on your holy name for protection. We pray that you will protect Israel's soldiers in the IDF, including the many believers in Jesus, and ask that you grant military leaders discernment in making the best decisions for the nation of Israel in confronting Hamas in the south, Hezbollah in the north, and other Iranian-backed terror organizations threatening Israel.
Lord, we acknowledge that many innocents are caught in the crossfire of this war, both in Israel and in Gaza. Our hearts break at the suffering of the very young and the very old in this conflict. We pray that you would give them the desire to call out to you in the midst of the horrors of war. We ask for supernatural encounters that will bring peace and salvation. Let your love and light be known even in the darkest of places.
Father, the enemy is a liar and the father of all lies. We are seeing lies disseminated in the press, the United Nations, on college campuses, on social media. Lord, we ask you to silence every lying tongue that would seek to justify the violence and carnage against Israel and the Jewish people. We declare that no weapon formed against your people will prosper. Give people a hunger for truth and amplify the voices of truth wherever they are heard.
Lord, you instruct us to pray for our enemies, so we lift up the terrorists who perpetrated this terrible massacre and who are so filled with the poison of rage and deception that they seek to destroy the land of Israel. We pray that any heart seeking truth will find you and will be given the chance to repent and turn from their evil ways.
We also lift up Jewish people elsewhere in the world, those here in Jersey and in other countries. We pray that as the spirit of anti-Semitism is raising its ugly head, as we have not seen since World War II, your people Israel would seek you for encouragement and comfort. May they know that they are not alone, that we as Christians stand with them. May our prayers and support bring comfort to them. As it says in Isaiah 62, verse 1, "For Zion's sake I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake I will not remain quiet till her righteousness shines out like the dawn."
In accordance with Psalm 122, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love her be secure. May there be peace within her walls and security within her citadels, especially at this time. Finally, we join with our Jewish friends in affirming that the Lord God of Israel is King, and his dominion is absolute. Above all, Lord, be glorified as the God who takes what the enemy means for evil and turns it for good. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Although our prayers today have focused on the situation in Israel and Gaza, we know that there is much to pray about in the rest of the world. We pray for countries ravaged by war. We pray for situations of conflict where the future seems to hold no hope, no reconciliation or resolution. The fighting continues in Ukraine. The civil war in Sudan rages on 7 months after it began. Myanmar is also in the grip of a civil war with numerous armed groups fighting the military junta, which deposed an elected government in 2021. The list goes on, Lord, and we feel so helpless. All we can do is to lift these people to you in prayer. Locally, the cleanup and repairing after Storm Ciarán continues, and we thank you for all those who have helped in any way, especially with those whose homes have been damaged. It will take many months before the island gets back to normal, but we thank you, Lord, that there was no loss of life. We pray for your church, your body, gathering together over all the world, but with so many different challenges and conflicts to face. Bind us all together in your love, we pray. Here at Bethlehem, we pray for Anne Fells, who is hoping to go home tomorrow after many months in hospital. We pray that the help she needs can be put in place and that we, as her church family, will continue to support her. We also ask your blessing on those who are no longer able to worship here at Bethlehem through ill health or frailty. We will now have a time of open prayer for you to pray out loud or in your hearts about things that which concern you. You will put Let us join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you all for that time of prayer, and it's good to see how prayer is so central to our life and our church here at Bethlehem. We're going to dedicate our offering as we prepare for our Holy Communion. We sing a hymn which affirms our faith in God, the Father, the Son.
O Lord, we remember how the cross is the sign of your arms stretched out in love for us. And the
Lord, we thank you for this hour of worship and time to sit at your feet, to turn our eyes upon Jesus. And we thank you for his marvelous grace. We rejoice that that grace goes with us into this new week. We are ready now to follow him, to be your people in the world. May your Holy Spirit show us the way, make us holy and fill us with love. Amen. Our final song. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee.
One previously seems to be, but we know.